All right, well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis, and we are in a new space right now. You can't see it yet, but we are in our almost completed podcast studio. It feels kind of weird. We don't have this table in between us,
Dan. I know. The barrier's been broken down, Austin. We're together again.
We're together again. We've got these nice chairs. It's just a good time. So, Dan, I figure, you know, so that I don't get too distracted by how things are too different, might as well just dive right into this. What did we talk about this week?
We were in Romans 13. So with this clothing series, if you've been following along with us, we've jumped around. We've been through Old Testament passages and now in the New. And the end of Romans, Paul is really teaching, you know, practical application. Since you know the salvation of Christ, the good news of the gospel, this then is how you should live. It transformed life, you know, when you think of Romans 12. And so this is part of that teaching. And at the end, he uses some clothing image, which is why we chose this passage. Kind of summarizes that love is the main article of clothing, really defining is the way we said article of clothing we need to be wearing. And then when he gets into that clothing imagery specifically, he starts talking about the hope and looking forward. The day is now, the night's nearly ended, and he says, put on the armor of light, that clothing image, and then at the end says, clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about love in general. How is biblical love maybe different from how it's culturally defined? We talked about how that needs to be filtered through this vision of what God's bringing about and the emphasis there on what God is bringing about, not what me that I'm bringing about or we are bringing about. Just to keep, I use the image of a water pressure regulator there to say it keeps it in the right outflow, right, of what we're doing as far as our clothing of love. So, yeah, I mean, nothing shocking. I mean, we know this if you've been in Scripture, this call to love, it's very clear. Paul was not making anything new up. He was following in the whole lineage of Scripture, and especially Jesus. But it's so important that we always need to talk about it, come at it from different angles, too, so that we are thinking maybe freshly about it. So, yeah, I know we're going to talk about some more, but enjoyed being in it. So.
Oh, it's so good. And it's, again, such a good refresher because, yeah, again, we talk about love all the time. As a, you know, we've talked about how as a culture we have a lot going on about love. Obviously, it's very different for us as believers. And even as believers, we sometimes forget that, like, to quote the old song, love is a verb.
Yeah.
It's something that we do. It's not just our emotional state. Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. And one thing that I want to acknowledge before we go into all of this discussion, often we can get caught up in the discussion about what do we do when our version of love is different, our interpretation of love is different, even the physical interpretation. What do we do when what I find loving and what I would hope someone would do to me isn't what someone else needs when I'm trying to be loving? Mm-hmm. We've had some conversations about that, and we won't really get into that much now, but I do want to acknowledge that's a part of this. So if you're at home and looking for more things to talk about and think about, that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. But Dan, for our starting today, kind of what you were starting with was that we get so distracted with love as a feeling, especially here in our culture, that we miss the action of love, which is then for everyone around us. There is no defined limit for that. And there's a lot we can dig in there. But the question you told us to think on is, what action can I do that will be for my neighbor's good? And again, there's so many ways we can go into this, but I really want to hammer in on one here, because here at Friendship, we are a very blessed community. Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate to have a beautiful space, to be in a very intentional community. We've been together. I mean, Friendship's been around for decades and decades. And we're honestly, to be fully honest, we're very blessed financially. Mm-hmm. That's something that not a lot of places can say, and not a lot of churches can say. And so I want to ask a little bit today, what does it mean to think, you know, what action will be for my neighbor's good when it comes to things like our own money, our finances? Mm. What's our calling, according to these passages of Scripture we were talking about, when we have an opportunity to help our neighbor, but that might not be exactly in our financial plan? Mm-hmm. And then what opportunities for growth and faith can come from loving our neighbor more openly with our finances that might not come if we're more protective of that stability and that comfort?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, like Austin just said, There's so many outflows of this. This is one area, but a prominent one. Jesus spends a lot of time talking and teaching about this aspect of our lives. And we know it comes into play for all of us. Even at a young age, we're thinking a lot about financial resources in that way. So I think a good question, and it is different, I'll acknowledge, individually or even within a family versus a collective of families, individuals here at church. And I believe it ties in well with what Austin prefaced this conversation with, too, that part of the reason it's so important to see this through the lens of Christ's return is that it keeps us humble. So we need to talk about these things because, yes, sometimes we have different ideas, and a lot of times none of them are bad. Mm-hmm. It's just we need to come to a place where we decide in the Spirit together this is where we're leading. And I think that's important to say at the outset is that we need to pay attention for God's leading through the Spirit in this. So there are times, right, where regardless of your situation financially, right, you come across someone who's in need and you just feel that nudging. And you know it's from the Spirit, I need to help here, whatever fashion, amount that might be. To me, that's, we need to follow that. And if, to answer some of your, you know, extra questions, like, we'll be missing on something God wants to do then through us, through this interaction in that person's life. We maybe don't know what it is, but if the Spirit's leading, He wants to do something there. So first and foremost, we need to be praying in that direction. If we're going to be clothed with love, if we're going to be thinking, how can I do whatever it is for the good of my neighbor, in this case with financial resources, we need to be expecting the Spirit's going to be leading that way. And I need to be asking, we need to be asking for His leading and for His help in that regard. Because otherwise, I know for myself, I'll just do what I normally do, and which is, if I'm not careful, it's just all about me or maybe those closest to me. Or for a church, just about our stuff and not maybe what's going around us and other needs that are there. But sometimes that will require some sacrifice. And often, right, love is defined that way in Christ. He gives sacrificially. And so there's going to be times when it's not necessarily easy. You know, this is going to take away from what I was saving for here. Or this is going to make this kind of tight, something I want to do here. And that's why, to me, it's so important to recognize the Spirit's leading in it, because that's what can give me the conviction that, no, I need to do this. And there's different examples of that and going about things the right way. And some are more direct. I know Austin and I have had conversations, too, and times in your life where you felt compelled to give to someone and you knew, oh, we're not exactly flush right now. But, boy, it seems like the Spirit put this person in front of me, so we need to do it. And, you know, you've been all right. You know, you've been able to make it through things, too. We had, you know, this is more of a distant one. We first moved to Michigan some years back. We still owned the house we had lived in Indiana. And it was a bad time in the market, not like now. Then it was really hard to sell. And we were sitting on that for a while. We were here, and we were far away, so we had to care for things. Well, things happen in the house, right? In fact, someone tried to steal our air conditioner. Mm-hmm. And, they clipped the line, then they come back to try and take it. So in this case, they clipped the line. They got caught before they could actually take the unit. And so we had someone go look at it and basically came back to us like, I can get this thing to work. I don't know how long it'll run, but I can get it to work. So instantly there, we're put in the situation of what's the, not even just the right thing to do. Somebody's going to move into this house, Lord willing. Right. and is it right? Is it good for my neighbor for them to come in with this, we know it to be sketchy air conditioning situation.
Right.
And I think that played into like, now it's going to cost us money. We're paying a mortgage of a place we're not looking at. We're going to have to pay for when we close on this thing eventually. But maybe right now this is still the right thing to do, right? And we were able to do that, and God blessed. But there was a cost. There was a sacrifice. It would have been much less costly to just, good, thanks for getting it running. Mm-hmm. And that's even more distant, right? Sometimes you run into someone who has a need, or you hear somebody at the church, right, they're in a tough spot. And you're not, you know, the most wealthy person in the world, but you feel called by the Spirit to help. So that's, I think, the other piece with love. In this case, or in any kind of case, there's going to be some sacrifice, that element to it. And that's going to make it challenging, but that's what makes it fruitful. Mm-hmm. Never have I regretted doing that. Like, boy, I really shouldn't have been that generous. I never remember thinking that afterwards. Boy, I wish I hadn't been as generous, or I wish I hadn't you know, sacrifice lovingly in that way. No, I never. It's just in the moment. It is hard. And especially you brought this category up for a reason, because in this, maybe we especially feel that pressure, that pinch. Did that get to some of the things you were asking?
It absolutely did. It did. Well, and I always like when we're talking about this, I love going back to the story of Jesus and the widow's mite, as it was, which, again, just brief, Austin's, you know, the new Austin Slater version, the NASV. They're at the temple, and this woman is giving, like, the tiniest little copper coin, basically a penny. And then next to her, this other person is giving a large, generous donation. And Jesus turns to the disciple and says, that woman has given more because she gave of what she did not have, whereas he gave out of his excess.
Right, right.
And I think that's just such an important thing for us as people who are called to be generous, who are called to be giving, obviously with things outside of finances, sure, but it is important for us to acknowledge, like, if we are blessed with much, we need to be generous with much.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean, sometimes we have that discussion about the one who came to Jesus and, you know, what's the greatest commandment? I've kept all these. He says, oh, just one more thing. Give all you own to the poor. And sometimes we read that and say, am I supposed to give everything away? Well, Jesus was specifically challenging this person who had an idol with money, right? And if that's the case for us, we maybe need to take it more seriously. But that's not the case, that we have to give everything we have in these situations. But a lot of times God's calling us to give in a way that's, I guess, going to show our allegiance to him above our checkbook and say, like, are you going to clothe yourself in love? And I appreciate Paul's imagery elsewhere where he gives a lot of descriptions, things we should be wearing. Over all these things, he'll write, put on love. In other words, this should be the most obvious. Again, you know, we're wearing outfits here today, but and the stuff on the outside is the most obvious, and that's what should be the most obvious. Over everything we are wearing, love should come through, whether it's our finances, whether in our relationships, whether that's with time, that should come through our thinking and following Jesus. What's going to be for the good of my neighbor? What's not to their harm? Paul says it in the negative way in Romans 13. I appreciate that too, that it's not non-loving to give out of a great deal that we've been given, but when that sacrifice comes, it's very clear that's
when God really moves in you, too.
Yes, he's doing double transformation, as it were.
Absolutely. Yeah. You talked about not doing harm, and I'd love to hop on that real quick, because that's my second question for today. We were talking about how keeping God's future in view keeps our agendas about love in check. This is so good, because like you were saying, it really requires us to defer to God's timing, and arguably more important even than his timing, his methodology to bring about his kingdom, rather than trying to use our human plans and human powers to do that, which ties into the second point you made about that, which was keeping God's future in view keeps us alert to the danger that is still around us now. And obviously there is the danger of the enemy and just our sin nature in this world. But how can we be keeping watch to make sure we do not become that danger, that we're not getting in the way of God's plan through our own human efforts? I mean, we see this all the time, especially in the Old Testament, where the nation of Israel will be like, yes, you know, we serve God, and so we're going to do things a different way than we were told to because that is more efficient. That is going to get things done better. And obviously, that was not the case. So how do we know then if we're really relying on God as opposed to believing that we're relying on God but really just acting as though it relies on us?
Yeah, those two things do kind of flow together. I hadn't necessarily thought of that, but it's true, right? If I am not keeping, you know, God's prominent role in this bringing about his, you know, future that he's bringing about, I start doing things my own way, which then becomes actually a danger to, you know, this whole future that he's seeking to bring about and being able to follow it. And yeah, I think when we do get caught up in our own agendas, we start often acting in ways that aren't loving, not clothed in love. Or to use the language of before, right, to thinking about this verb piece of it, we end up very good at saying what's not love, but not actually doing things that are loving, right?
Good point, yeah.
I think in our culture, we're always naming like, well, that's not good, and that's not good, but we're not doing, it's almost like we define our Christian faith by what we're not.
What we don't do rather than what we do.
Yes.
Interesting, yeah.
I think that we need to have that positive. There's times, certainly, to say, oh, this isn't right. We can't be doing it that way, but we should have plenty of things that are showing who we are. Yeah, and so it, kind of the question you ask is like, well, how can we be affirmed, maybe in a sense that, you know, we're in the right direction? Yeah, maybe a couple things there. One would be, this is why community is important. There's some accountability there, and if I'm doing things just on my own, I might, oh, in my head, I'm great, you know, but maybe Austin sees something and says, oh, I don't, this had this output. I don't know if you knew that, but this hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. Or this hurt me, you know, because the way you slighted me and what I was trying to do or thinking about. And that hopefully would make me think twice, like, oh, okay, maybe I need to approach this differently or think about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Where if it's just in my own head, of course it's good. I affirm it every day. And,
right.
You know, it's always good. And so that community aspect can be very helpful to the spirit moves in that community to see, okay, yeah, let's keep things in the right direction. You know, it's kind of tricky, too, because I can affirm things myself, because in some ways you see the fruit of, mm-hmm. I believe, when we're living out the Christian faith and we're going about loving in right ways, we're going to see God at work. And I want to affirm that's the case, while at the same time saying I can deceive myself in that area, too.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't negate the truth that God is going to be working in powerful, transformative ways as we are following his direction in this, mm-hmm. as we are loving sacrificially. We're going to see, as Austin just said a minute ago, we're going to see changes in ourselves because we're going to be more trusting. We're going to be more Christ-like. And then also in what's happening as we're working with others and giving in Christ-like ways, God's going to do some things. That's going to be something that draws them closer to Christ as well. So that evidence, that fruit, as long as we're keeping clear on what that fruit is and what it should look like, is a very good evidence, affirmation mm-hmm. that God's doing things through the way we're going about it and trying to love. And again, that caveat of I can make my own affirmation and say, well, of course this is working great. Look how much, we'll say this, often when I'm in my own head about fruit, it usually has to do with look how much I've given.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many people, it's like my own self metrics.
And it's, and yeah, the metrics part I think comes in a lot because it's all about measuring how much we've done and accomplished. Rather than the more, the less quantifiable spiritual changes that can happen.
Yeah, it becomes more about my resume than the Lord's, if that's the right way of putting it. You know, it is going to be, yes, I've done these things. I've given to X amount of charities. I've, you know, given my time to, you know, all good things. But maybe that shows, oh, my perspective needs some adjustment. Mm-hmm. Because this is about God's work. It's about his mercy. The whole first half of Romans is like, we have no place in this but for the love of Christ, right, who came and loved us while we were still God's enemies. So that might be something that helps us. Is this more about me? Mm-hmm. You know, the catechism talks about what makes a good work. It has to conform to God's will, but it also has to be directed toward him, right? Not myself, like to his glory, to his praise. The light goes there rather than myself. So that might be on both ends of it. The fruit shows it, but also I need to check the way I am identifying that fruit.
That's really helpful. Thank you. What can we be looking forward to this next Sunday?
So this week's actually the conclusion of our clothing series, right. Summer, flying on by. And
wow, that was fast.
Yeah, we're going to do something separate for Labor Day weekend when we get there. That's just a couple weeks away. But this week we started in Genesis. We're going to end in Revelation, which seems very fitting. And Revelation 7 is one of a few scenes of worship in heaven and one of a few scenes where we see people in white robes clothed in that way. So that'll be the clothing imagery we focus on and talking about there. God's really giving this vision of where he's taking all things. And it's meant to be something sustaining for us now who live in this world with all its difficulties and pains. We were just talking before we came on here, just a tragedy that's happened within our community, kind of school, Christian overall community here in our area. And just it's very hard stuff. And it's sad, it's tragic. And that's actually the context out of which this chapter arises. And there's the martyrs there, and the people are crying out, how long? And God gives this vision as to say, I understand, you know, where things are at and the pain you're dealing with. Let me encourage you to say, this is where it's going, and this is how you're going to be dressed. And that beauty, that purity, So I think a hopeful vision for us as well as we end this series, to see at the outset how we struggled. We went against God, and yet he was gracious to where he's bringing all these things now in Christ. And we can look forward to that, even as we still, still struggling some of our earthly clothing and earthly situations now. So, yeah, looking forward to that this week. Incredible scene there in Revelation 7. And, yeah, it's been a great journey through Scripture with this series, too. So
good. Well, thank you so much, Dan, for your time today and your insight. Thanks to all of you for joining. We'll be here next week. And hopefully the week after that, we'll be here with video. So you'll get to see me get all distracted and fidgety. But go with peace, and we'll see you next time.